Today on Real Life Radio.
He died for all the sins in the world that would ever be committed, from Adam and Eve to the last moment of sin in the future. He died, and yet there are some people that, no, he didn't die for everybody. He only died for those who will say yes to him. That is a sick thought, my friend, because without Jesus Christ dying for all the world, then there is no justification for hell itself.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. We are in the studio today with Pastor Jack. Pastor, it's that time again. It's Easter.
It is, Davey, and it's awesome. We love it. In fact, I think I'm going to like what we're going to talk about right now.
Just beforehand in these Easter messages that are coming up, we thought it would be kind of cool, kind of fun, to take a little bit of time and just ask some questions about Easter. I think you're up for it.
Yeah.
Now, for today's question, what is the most misunderstood part about Easter? You know what I mean? What is something that you want people to know about Easter that they might not know just right off the bat?
I think the most misunderstood, and I deliver this because this is what comes to me and has come to me over the decades, is, well, Pastor Jack, if Jesus is God and he died, and if God died, how come the world didn't like blow up or fall apart?
Huh.
Because didn't he die on the cross for us? And wasn't he buried? Wasn't God dead? Well, we have to remember something. Yes, but no. Yes, he died, but God cannot die. His body died. Jesus was veiled in human skin, 100% God, 100% man. He was the incarnate Word of God. So when Mary had her little lamb, if I can put it that way, at resurrection season, at Passover season, it was none other than the birthing of Christ into this world. When Jesus died, remember, the scripture says that he dismissed his spirit.
Yeah.
His body died as the sacrifice for our sins. He was and is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The reason why the world and the universe didn't fall or fly apart is because the spirit and the soul of Christ never died. Remember, we are a trichotomy. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians that we are body, soul, and spirit. Well, when Jesus came, he took upon himself the body, soul, and spirit, much like we are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yet without sin. That's that incarnate, glorious appearing of God in human skin. So that's, I think, one of the most confusing parts for some people is, if Jesus is God, then how could he die and the world stay together? Well, thank God it was his body that died as a sacrifice. Yeah.
On today's very special Easter Passion Week edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now with his message called One for All and All for Themselves. We're glad you're here today. You know, the ministry and life of Jesus was all about us, you and me. But in our humanity, we're pretty much all about ourselves even when Jesus is reaching out to us. You see, we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory, and it's only confessing our sins to God that opens the door to forgiveness and relationship. So today, Pastor Jack will teach us about the horrific scourging that Jesus had to bear while on trial for his life. But he did it all for us, having been found guilty of claiming to be the Son of God. Now, in his Passion Week message called One for All and All for Themselves, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Lord, we ask you to speak to us tonight out of your word. We, Lord, created in your image, but so severely fallen from our choices, from our first mom and dad, Adam and Eve, to this very moment. And the world not only mirrors that, it bears the scars and the bruises of a world in rebellion against Almighty God. But Father, we thank you that you stepped in and you fulfilled so many Old Testament prophecies that it was beyond obvious. And the ones that remain to be fulfilled, we trust and know you will do as you have spoken. Great and mighty is our God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lives. He lives, having gone to the cross. The Son of God. We praise you, Lord God. Speak to us this night. And Lord, we must confess, though, we put the stage in simplicity, the lighting in simplicity. This day historically was a heavy day, but we must confess it's as though we're like a horse ready to leave the gate, because we know how this ends. And the sacrifice of the Lamb of God is not the ending. And we praise you for that, because Sunday will be here soon enough. And what a glorious moment that is. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Church family, as we prepare our hearts tonight for communion and for worship on this Good Friday, many of you know, maybe if there's just one of you who you may not know, it's good for me to repeat the fact that Good Friday stands for, the word good is ascribed to God only. Good morning, good afternoon, Good Friday, good evening is God's morning, God's afternoon, God's evening, God's Friday. And so as we gather here together, we're looking at a message this evening titled, One for All and All for Themselves. One for all, that would obviously depict the ministry and the life of Jesus. And then all for themselves speaks about us and our humanity. What do I mean by that, by one for all and all for ourselves? But in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Paul speaks to the Romans and he says, for all have sinned. That word in the Greek means to miss the mark or a standard of perfection. All have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Everything that God expects, listen everyone, for entrance into heaven has never been established. It always has been. God is holy. God is perfect. God is pure. God is just. And the Bible tells us that he's so pure that he cannot look upon evil. And by the way, that's a great theological argument and dissertation on the person of Christ. How did God maintain his holiness and yet at the same time be our Redeemer? How is he the one that is pure and unapproachable spirit, but yet reach out to us in love? Now, God never has a problem. He didn't have a problem then, and he doesn't have a problem tonight. God has no problems. But what God did in that sending his only lamb into this world to be our ultimate sacrifice can only have been thought up by him. We were incapable, we were unable, and if that brings you any doubt in your mind, then you ought to read the Bible in its entirety. And the Bible is the one that tells us that we have in fact sinned and fallen short of what God's glory is all about. And yet the same God that tells us that we're way off the mark is the same God that says, but I've brought you the answer. The Bible tells us from ancient times, listen, Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20 says, not a single person on earth is always good and never sins. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 begins by saying, listen, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I told you years ago, it's been years ago, we were going through the Gospel of Luke. And I remember teaching and I went right out to the foyer and there was a young man standing there and he said, I want you to know, I take issue with your sermon today because you said all have sinned. I said, that's right. He said, I have never sinned. And he was with his girlfriend, which was convenient for me. And I said, is that true? He's never sinned? And you know what she did? She didn't say a word. She didn't have to. She went like this. That said it all. The truth is not in us. Verse 9, 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar and his word is not in us. Powerful. But you know it's true. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." What a great word that is. So let's step back in time, 2,000 years ago in history, as recorded in the scriptures, to the city of Jerusalem and to the temple precinct known as the Praetorium. The Praetorium was the law enforcement facility. It was police headquarters, so to speak, for Rome's centurions and the Praetorian guards. They're the ones that controlled the Temple Mount activities, make sure that it was kept under Roman limits and Roman rule. And so they were gathered together as we pause on this Good Friday. Number one thing we notice, church family, is this. As we consider our scriptures, that as we look at this, in John chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, we see this, that on this day in history, everyone was on trial. I want you to think about that for a moment. Of course, nobody thought that back then. So you're a time traveler right now. You are 2,000 years ahead. And you know how we often say that, having knowledge looking back is, you know, 20/20. We have perfect sight looking back. Well, my friend, looking forward, you don't have really any sight at all unless you look at it through the Word of God. But I'm asking you to look back, and the Bible would announce to us that everyone was about to be put on trial. John 19, verse 1, "So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him." That word scourge means beat him to the point where many Roman criminals would die from the scourging. I don't have the time to get into the Roman flagellum, what that looks like. You can see it in history. You can see it in YouTube or something. They've got images of them. A long handle. So sometimes the centurion could use both hands, and it had 9 leather straps with bone, glass, and rock as it would extract pieces of flesh out of the victim's back. Josephus writes that many victims had their lungs exposed to the atmosphere. You could see their ribs and their lungs working while they were being beaten. Jesus was scourged, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put it on him, a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him there with their hands. That word means open palm. They didn't punch him. They hit him with their palms wide open. That's horrific, because Jesus is also blindfolded at this moment. A punch would have been more merciful, but an open palm slap across the face or head could break the neck. And they struck him there with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." So Pilate's representing Rome and the Gentiles and all that is not the Sanhedrin, not the Pharisees, not the Sadducees. And then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, that's Jesus, they cried out saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault with him." Now, what a disgusting, what a woke thing to do. He's innocent in my eyes, but I don't want to get in trouble with you guys, so go do whatever you want with him. Spineless.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die." Notice why they argue. Listen, notice why they are indicting Jesus. On what grounds is Jesus worthy of death?
Because he made himself the Son of God. Jesus Christ was found guilty of being the Son of God. Think of that. You say, well, what's that all about? Listen, in the Jewish mind and in the ancient mind, the son, the firstborn son, had all the authority and had all the influence as the father. They're one. And they said, that's it. He's saying that he's God's son. That means he's come from God. People today want to argue about the deity of Jesus. Let them argue about it. They're stupid. They're fools. They're in the corner. Let them be. Jesus himself said, before Abraham ever existed, I am. Ego emi, the eternal one. Everyone was on trial. Rome was on trial. Pilate's on trial. The Jewish leadership's on trial. The second thing we see is in verses 8 to 10, and it's this. For this day in history means this, that Pilate had one more chance in that horrific moment of time that we celebrate on this Good Friday evening. John 19, verse 8 says, therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was more afraid. And he went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. By the way, that's fulfilling Isaiah 53. He did not speak in his own defense. He was silent. Then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and power to release you? What an amazing statement. Now Pilate is alone with Jesus face to face. And Pilate is asking this question, where are you from? He's trying to look on the earthly level. He's trying to look for a way out. Where can I send this guy? Where are you from exactly? I need to find out exactly where you're from. See who under me has got jurisdiction somewhere else, or see who in Rome has got power over me so they can deal with you. I got to get rid of you. Listen, you trying to wash your hands of Jesus Christ simply means this, that you're washing away an opportunity, a chance to know Jesus. Jesus could have begged him in the moment. Jesus could have pleaded with him in the moment. You and I might have been tempted in our carnality to plead. Jesus, why didn't you plead with him? Jesus will never bend your arm to make you a believer. You know that? Never. Pilate was no dummy. Jesus was 33 years old. Pilate had been around a long time. He knew exactly where Jesus was from. I think it's that deeper meaning to the question, where are you from? They just accused you of being guilty of calling yourself the Son of God. Where are you from? Do you get that? And Jesus, though answering him, didn't answer, but by not answering, did answer. Jesus says, yeah, to your claim of having authority over my life to put me to death or to let me live, that's not going to work. How do we know this? Thirdly, look at this. On this day in history, all came under condemnation. Jesus Christ going to the cross on this day in history condemned the entire world. You want to get, listen, there's a lot of cults in this world today that if you mention that, listen, that if you mention to somebody, Jesus loves you and he died on the cross for your sins, you know, they might kill you for that. Did you know that? In fact, you don't even have to be involved in witnessing to a cult. You can talk to somebody who's very arrogant and proud and say, God loves you. And they'll roll with that. And the moment you say, Jesus died for you on the cross, they're like white on rice. They're furious because you know what you've just said? You've just told them that they need a redeemer, that they need a savior because they're a sinner. And I'm a sinner and you're a sinner. And we're all sinners, the Bible says, and we're condemned. That's why Jesus went to the cross. Because sin is so horrible. And in verse 11, the Bible says, Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Notice he just answered where he's from. You got that? Where are you from? Jesus answers, if you're paying close attention, above. I'm from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me, speaking of Judas now, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. That sounds like a Facebook threat. And that's called canceling. If you let, that's called bullying. If you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend, implication. If you let this man go, we're gonna tell Caesar on you. That's exactly what they meant. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. Dear friends, might I remind you, this is not the Jewish people saying this. This is the Jewish religious leadership saying this. Out of their own mouth, they're saying, we've got to have loyalties to Caesar. And Pilate, you better remember your place in this whole game. I have this file and it's quotes. Whenever I have an actual original thought, it's not often. I think in 66 years, I've got 21 original thoughts, I think, as of today. And I write them down and I put them in a little file called Jack's Quotes. And one of those quotes is, never underestimate a man's ability to justify himself. And that's 100% true. Didn't Satan say skin for skin? A man will do anything to save his own skin. We'll talk a little bit more of that on Sunday, but the amazing thing is, one for all, that's Jesus Christ going to the cross. I'm gonna paraphrase, close enough, almost exact quote, but I love how this gets people angry. Are you ready? I don't think any of you are gonna get angry over this, but I just love the fact that when I say what I'm about to say, it gets people angry. It gives me great satisfaction to know. it's not personal. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died for the sins of all mankind. He died for all. He died for all the sins in the world that would ever be committed, from Adam and Eve to the last moment of sin in the future. He died to set man free from the grip of sin and of hell and of death. And yet there are some people that, no, he didn't die for everybody. He only died for those who will say yes to him. That is a sick thought, my friend, because without Jesus Christ dying for all the world, then there is no justification for hell itself. People who are in hell because they wanted to go to hell because they did not want God in their life and they chose that path. You may be here today, you may be watching right now, and you're saying, I don't want Jesus in my life. That's your choice. Just know this, he died for all your sins. All of your lying, all of your cheating, stealing, moving the decimal point over, adding another zero, looking at your neighbor's husband or your neighbor's wife, going too fast in the freeway. Right? He died for all sin. That's why blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is not accepting Christ. What, is there an unforgivable sin? Yes, there is. There's only one. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which is rejecting Jesus. That's the sin.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in this very special Easter Passion Week message called One for All and All for Themselves. And of course, from everybody here at Real Life Radio, we all say thank you for listening to our broadcast daily. And happy Easter to you, by the way. Our prayer is that in celebrating this Passion Week, you'll come to realize really the urgency to come to Christ if you don't know him. Knowing him and knowing that he is the only way to eternal life, you've got to get there. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. What if the greatest battles in life aren't fought with swords and armies, but with the struggles of the heart? What if the most defining moments of leadership come not from triumph, but from pain, betrayal, and humility? How do we handle being misunderstood or wronged? And how do we navigate the deep waters of authority, submission, and forgiveness? In A Tale of Three Kings, Gene Edwards takes us inside the lives of King Saul, King David, and Absalom, illustrating the powerful lessons learned from their brokenness and their failures. Through these kings, we discover that true leadership often comes through humility, suffering, and trusting God's sovereignty, even in the most difficult seasons. This book will challenge you to reflect on your own heart, leadership, and your walk with God. A Tale of Three Kings by Gene Edwards. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.